is Bill Hertzke, and I live in Calgary. Last fall, in October, I was working on a ranch southwest of Cochrane. It would be, northwest of Cochrane, which would be northwest of Calgary. And it was on a beautiful morning.
Excuse me. Would you owner the ranch mind if you gave the name of the ranch and the name of the owner, just so we have the address, do you think?
Yeah, it was the Circle J Ranch, owned by Jack Giles of Shepherd. And it was a beautiful morning. That morning I rode out, and I was bringing in the cattle because we were planning of spraying them for warbles. We generally do that in the fall on ranches. And as I was down in the pasture where the cattle were, I had rode down the hill to the valley where the majority of the cattle were, and I had gone past the opening where on my way back where I seen this craft, there wasn't anything there at the time because I had looked around looking for calves and various cattle that might have been sticking in a bush or just laying down or something like that. And I rode on over through the valley and up the other side of the hill, rounded up all the main herd that was in the valley. And on my way back, I had almost completed chasing them up the hill or through this, on the road going up the hill. All of a sudden, my horse shied on me. And I had a dog with me, which I was training for moving cattle in a bush country like that. Dog is quite useful to you because he can get in the bush and get him out where a man can't get in with horse. And as I was cutting aside to bring back a small calf that was going to wander off on the side on me, my horse shied. And first I thought it was a dog because he had a habit of jumping at the horse's hoofs and or at the tail, grabbing it and making him buck. And I looked around and I couldn't see the dog at all. And my eye caught something just off to the south to where I was, a silverish gray object, and all I could see was the tail of it. I turned my horse around and went back around the bluff where this object was sitting, and I had a very good look at it. It was about 9:30 in the morning, and the sun was shining beautifully, and I see this craft which looked like an airplane, much of a similar shape as an airplane, and but the wings and that were set back more like a hawk that was flying down in a power dive to take his prey off the ground. And it was very neat and neatly compact. The length of the ship itself estimated about 16 feet in length. The tip to tip of wingspan, I estimated about 12 feet. And the depth of it, about 4.5 to 5 feet. Now, the peculiar thing about it was that it had waffle-type exterior only on its sides, from a portion of the back down to so far down its side towards the bottom. The bottom and the top had nothing on it. It was just silverish-gray material looking. And the dome portion of it looked like plexiglass material, and I could see right in. And I was quite amazed at what I seen inside. On the dashboard on top, there was I'd say about maybe 14-inch square TV screen. It looked like a TV screen. And just below that was a mass of dials and switches. It had, on the top row, there was 5 dials with needles and figures on. I couldn't see. I was at it about 12 feet. I couldn't get my horse close enough to see what actually figures were on there or anything like that.
Was the underbrush so dense or wouldn't your horse go closer?
Well, I think the horse was more scared of the object because it shied in the first place from it, and that's what drew my attention to it. There was five dials in a row on top. There was four on below the next row. And then the next row of that, there was, I didn't exactly count them, there was quite a few knobs. How would you call this?
Scalped edges.
Scalped edges, yes. And then below that was a row of small switches that looked like a switchboard on a telephone operating table, away like with the. And below that again, there was another row of switches that were a little bigger, and they were on a swiveling angle. Yeah, you could tilt either way, and they were a little bit bigger, and they were flat on the sides, but round on each edge, and they had a little knob on the end of it, and I'd say they were about an inch and a quarter, inch and a half in length. They were much a little longer than the other ones were. The other ones ran from about a half inch to three quarter of an inch long. But what amazed me was that. All these switches, they were clear. They had tan marking across them, which looked like there might have been something written on indicating what they were. But the switch itself, the knobs and everything, they were clear. Just like if they were, well, I'd say they were made out of plexiglass. Everything that was inside of it resembled that. Just at the bottom, there was two small bucket seats, just back a piece. And ahead of each bucket seat, there was a plexiglass-type stick with a small ball on the end of it. Now, I'd say it was about an inch and a half, might not even be that, in diameter. And it stood up, maybe about 4 inches above the beginning of the dashboard. And I noticed that the seats had seat belts on each one of them. And these seat belts, they looked like, it might have been a kind of a webbing material, but it was an awful fine weave, whatever material it would have been. I couldn't see no buckles on it. I just seen the straps hanging down from each side where I was standing or sitting on my horse. And I could see real good inside. And just back of the bucket seats, there was a wall, and it looked like there was three steps that I could make out that were down in the back of that, just in about the center of the chairs. And there was a door leading into the back of that. It was closed. But on the back of the wall, there was two round objects that looked like could have been lights for the cabin at night. And on the dome on the side, there was two strips about 2.5 inches wide in the same color as the plane itself, gray, silverish gray. And in behind that, in the inside, looked like there could have been, almost like a fluorescent light. To me, it would have looked like a fluorescent light sitting in behind a heavy glass on each side of that. And
tell me, how big were those seats and how big was that door that led into the back, roughly? Could you tell
me? The door, I estimated at about 2 by 3, 2 feet. The width of it and the height of it was about three feet. And the door, surprisingly, was open about 2 inches.
Well, was this the door behind the seats?
No, this is the door entering into the craft itself.
Oh. What about this door behind the seats? Was it about the same?
That looked about the same. The same 2 by 3.
And the size of the seats again, about?
Well, I would say...
like this chair you're sitting in?
No, it wasn't that big. It would, I would say it would take about anything from 50 pound to maybe an 80 pound youth. But it would have to be very thin. I mean, because the seats weren't wide, but they had a beautiful, comfortable shape to them. They looked like you could sit in them and
talk. Well, was the seat part of it the same clear material, or did it have something like a cushion?
No, that amazed me too. The seat looked just like glass. It was amazing, but you could see the underneath where there must have been a cutting or something in the seat portion itself, where the straps went through. Because that's what drawed my attention to the seat belts. Otherwise, I don't think I would have quite noticed them. And it was quite clear to see them go through there and hanging over on each side. But the buckles must have been on the floor, but I couldn't get close enough to see direct down alongside. It didn't make any difference which way I rode around the whole thing, but I couldn't see right down to the floor. But even how the seats were fastened, one side of it, on the way the thing was sitting, it was pointing north. The tail was south, and on the west side, where the door was, it was open. The 2 inches that was open, I could just see through in one position, but I could only see the corner of the chair. I couldn't make out what the foundation it was sitting on, or whether it had springs underneath, or anything to cushion them, or anything like that. I couldn't see that, but I could see through there and on to the dashboard again. But another thing I looked for, whether there was any foot paddles or anything. I couldn't see nothing like that. There wasn't anything like that at all. But these sticks that were in front of them, they kind of amused me, because they seemed to be just solid, sat right in there. They didn't seem to, I don't know what they'd be good for, really. Mm-hmm. And another thing that amazed me too, after I rode around and looked the inside of it to my satisfactory, and got just about to see what it was all about, that I could explain it, I rode back around the bluff. There was a batch of willows in a kind of a V shape where it was sitting in, and there was a creek running just ahead of it there. I rode back around that and tied my horse onto the willows, and I came straight through to the front of it. And I got within 8 feet. I'd say the nose of it was about 8 feet from the willows. And
How high would the nose be off the ground?
Well, I'd say the body portion itself, the underneath carriage, was about 18 inches. Could have been 20, and could have been maybe less. It was, these are estimating, putting my hands together and figuring a distance what it could have been, see. And I figured about 18 inches. But I looked for an undercarriage, such as wheels. There was no sign of anything. It was absolutely smooth. There wasn't a peculiar thing about it was there wasn't a seam in it. There wasn't no way. Even the windows that were inset, they just seemed to be molded right out into the dome. There was the wings were set in the way the wings were. There was no seam around the wings. There was no way of attachments. Or the only thing that you could see was the door, that there was hinges for the door. But what they were like, I couldn't see. The door wasn't open enough that I could see hinges, actually. But I took for granted there must have been hinges, armor, or some.
Could you see any edge of the door? Like, did it have a metal frame or anything like that?
Well, it had a real tight fitting in it, and it looked like there was the casing itself was kind of grooved in like that, and the door fitted in, and the outside of the door had the same thing like this, so it sat in to make a kind of an air tight, and it was flush. There was no bumps or anything sticking out like that, and it kind of amazed me, because it just hung there in midair. There was no landing gear, just floating. You could have put your hand right underneath it.
Did you see it from two sides? You're sure that you didn't miss any support?
No, I didn't, because I tell you, I would. What made me, why I'm saying this is because I looked for identification of a craft marking, because most of our planes have some kind of identification on them, underneath the wings or around the tail portion or parts of the body. There was no identification of any kind I could see. And therefore I know that there was no legs of anything underneath it. You could have ran your hand straight underneath it and you wouldn't have hit nothing.
What did you think when you saw a thing like that?
Well, I didn't know what to expect. I have mentioned this, and I'll mention it again, that I was scared, because I didn't know what to expect of the unexpected. And I think that's what really made me scared, because I had no idea of what could happen. And as much as I wanted to walk up to it, And I had the opportunity. The door was open for me. I couldn't have wished for anything better. But still, the fear inside of me told me, you don't bother them, they won't bother me. And I'm glad I did, because I think that was a good theory at the time. And it really scared me more than anything. I was frightened. I didn't know what to expect. I was alone. And not only that is, I can't run. I had polio when I was a boy. And anybody chased me, I just had to stand and take it. So I had no choice. I was scared. I thought I'd leave well enough alone and get all the information off I could and keep my distance as far as I could, or at least get as close as I can without disturbing anything. And everything seemed to have worked out real good for me. And another peculiar thing I noticed was that there was a funnel shaped thing on the bottom, and it was came or even with the body, and then it sloped in towards the center on both sides, just in the midsection, about the middle of the plane, which I felt that it might have been their exhaust or whatever they drive the ship with. And another thing I paid very much attention to was to look for a hole in the back, as a jet. Our jets didn't. There was nothing in the back. It was just a smooth, round, finished off. And the wings there, I looked for little holes in the wings, which I thought there might be little motors or something that could have been sitting or exhaust in the back of the wings. They just came to a feathered point in the back, and that was it to that. There was nothing, and the wings were absolutely smooth, but the outside of the plane, like I had mentioned before, it was in a waffle-type pattern, and it ran only so far towards the top and so far towards the bottom, and as it petered towards the front of the thing, there was only parts of it would show a half a waffle or three quarters of a waffle.
Yeah, now, these waffles were inset. They were in deeper than the surface.
Yes, they were. I would, to my figuring, or as near as I could estimate them, they were in about a half an inch, maybe to an inch. But I don't think they were any further than that, and they might have not even been that far.
And how big would each?
Well, I'd say that they'd be either, on an estimate, from 2 to 2.5 absolutely square. And there was about, it would, hard to say, just, you know, by looking, what the distance would be from between each square. There was a little halfway between each setting. And I'd imagine that was about half an inch, maybe. Could have been a little bit more one way or the
other. Now, this halfway, it would come out to the even with the surface.
Mm-hmm. That was set even with the surface, and it just looked like somebody's taken a 2-inch square piece of something and just pressed it in and made it look just like a waffle that you would cook yourself, you know, one of those waffles. Mm-hmm. It was really remarkable. And the wings were set back. They had such a sharp setback to them. When I first looked at it from the top down, from the top of my horse, it looked exactly like an eagle or something that would be taking a power dive down. He had his wings back, and he was going. And that, I believe that ship could go, too. But I didn't get a chance to stick around too long, because the fellow I was working for had other plans there for me that day, and I was a little bit late already bringing the cattle in that day. I was to have them home by 10 o'clock, but this was about 9:30 already. So I had spent there, I'd say anything from 10 to 15 minutes looking around it and trying to get everything into my mind, what I had seen, and if anything was asked about that I could answer any questions on it. But I had wanted very much to go back to see it. When I got the cattle up, I had to go out and do some baling, so I never went back, never had the opportunity to go back to see what had happened then, and the snowstorm came after that, and it wouldn't have done me much good anyhow.
You don't remember the day of the week, do you?
Oh, it was in the beginning of the week. Mm-hmm. I couldn't say exactly, could have been Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, but exactly
you know,
which day.
You don't remember how close it was to Thanksgiving or something, the Canadian Thanksgiving?
Well, this was in the middle of the month, middle of October.
Middle of October, mm-hmm. Beginning of the week. Now, you couldn't actually, these dials on the instruments, were they like, do you think they were black dials with white markings like you see in an airplane for night flying? Or were they more like a clock, maybe a white dial with a black
I could see there was markings on them, but I couldn't identify them. I wasn't close enough. I wear glasses normally for close-up, and I don't wear them because I'm farsighted. And I can see better far away than I can actually close. But when I'm close, I need the glasses to bring it out, because otherwise I just see a blur. But I wanted very much to get really go up close. I think if I wouldn't have had it, if somebody else had been with me, I think we'd have really explored. I would have took a little more chance. I might have been a little more braver. But with just being by myself and not knowing what to expect, I thought I'd just leave well enough alone. And see, I couldn't see no life around. There was no movements of any kind. And if there had been around, it could have maybe been in the bush on to the west of it. It could have been a possible chance that they could have been hiding in there, because the underbrush was quite heavy yet, and the leaves weren't completely gone. And again, they could have been inside in the back portion of the craft and not knowing where they were. So but there was no sign of no life of any kind.
No sound.
No sound. There was
And yet it was floating.
It was floating. There was not even a hissing sound. I expected to hear some kind of a hissener or some kind of a humming. There wasn't anything. It was ideal. If there was anything to be heard, I would have heard it, because I heard birds singing around. But I certainly didn't hear nothing coming from the ship itself.
So you didn't notice any peculiar sensation a day or so after, did you? As if there might have been some radiation or something, that you didn't feel anything different?
No, I didn't feel anything. And my wife mentioned to me that she had noticed a couple of times during the night that where the buildings were, west, off into a piece of summer fallow, which I had been working on, there was a bluff sitting in the middle of the, almost in the middle of the field, and she'd often seen a light go behind there. And she says,
what color was the light?
Well, she said it was a kind of an orangish red.
Oh.
And I says, no. I says, I can't see why there should be a light around there, because it says there's no road. I said, all it is on where our fence ends, or the fellows that I was working for, a neighbor's pasture started, and there was an older road lounge in there, but it was never used, because the brush had all grown into it, and a car could have never got through there. And the third time she'd seen it, she called me, and of course I just happened to see about 5 feet of it above the trees as it dropped.
Was it a red orange?
It was a red orange.
And about how big would it be, say, compared to the size of full moon?
My wife figured it. That's what just about what it looked like was a full moon. And still, the moon was in the opposite direction at that time, because it was on the full moon, but the full moon had just it's been up about 3 hours then already, and was way over to the east, southeast.
And this thing disappeared behind the trees right about where you saw this thing.
No, this was further away again, further west. So there wasn't. We
and
never.
You didn't hear anyone else, no other stories.
No, we never heard anything more about it. And I, on my sighting, I had never told anybody. I never even told my wife. I didn't think anybody would ever believe me. Not counting my wife, she doesn't believe half what I say anyhow. But especially in things like that. Mm-hmm. But. So when I first read an article in the Calgary Herald here about the different sightings that were in Michigan, and the one article that struck me very close to home was that where this policeman had seen the object similar to what I had seen, waffle-type material, and looked like an airplane hoving over his car about 10 feet. Mm-hmm. And that kind of very much confirmed what I had seen and gave me encouragement. Maybe I should talk what I had seen.
Yeah.
And
now, did you read any books on these things prior to seeing this?
No, I have never. In fact, I never even knew there was books until I had met you.
I see.
I had never seen anything like that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very much confused about it. And in fact, I was so much concerned about the thing, and I didn't know who to tell it, mention it to. So I wrote to National Anonicus Police Administration in Houston, and I got an answer back from them, which they said that they didn't deal with FOUs, but they had sent my information down to Washington, to the Air Force there, and I'm waiting to hear word from them now, because there was very many interesting questions that I had asked, and I would like to have reply on them, if possible, because the material itself on the plane definitely, to me, looked like plexiglass completely through, and a question in my mind was that it stated in this article that it wasn't recognized on radar screen. And would it be possible that plexiglass type material like that would be picked up or not? Would it be possible that the radar just couldn't pick it up? And those are some of the questions that I asked to find out. And I wrote to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
Well, thank you very, very much, Mr. Hertzke. And when the grass gets green in spring, I need to go out there and see if by any chance there might be some difference in the way the grass grows in the spring.
Well, I'm sure interested in that, too, because I'm completely wrapped up in this now, and I would certainly like to know just exactly what it is, because I've always been one for... My mind has always been in the universe, and of course, not having the education to go with that, I'm always out for knowledge. And when I can get something like that, I'm right in it. There's no end to it for me.
Well, you certainly had a wonderful experience. It's just too bad you couldn't get a little closer to that instrument.
Well, I believe I would have gone closer had I had somebody with me. But being by myself and not knowing what to expect. I thought I'd just leave well enough alone. Something told me to. You leave that alone. I have a family to look after. You leave them alone, and they'll leave you alone. And I still maintain, to my own thinking, if a lot of people that do get close to them, for goodness sakes, try to surrender to them. Not really surrender to them, but show them that you're coming peacefully. And I think that kindness can kill kindness any day. You can win... almost anything with kindness, but for goodness sakes, don't try to be harsh.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.